So, Pastor Steve could not make it tonight, just as last week and next week as well. He's just really focused on a lot going on now, particularly the church building, so keep him in prayer. Tonight, we will be in the Bible. So, I forget. I'm so tired. Do we usually rise on Tuesday nights for the reading of the Word? I think we do. Do we? We don't? Okay, we don't. We don't. All right, well, I can ask that. I think I might have done it by accident before, but that's okay. All right, so tonight we'll be in Genesis chapter 12. And so we'll read the first section, and then we'll pray for our time. Genesis 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Verse 5, then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan, a.k.a., I call it PL, Promised Land. That's what it's talking about there. They departed to go towards the land of Canaan, towards the Promised Land, and it says, so they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth trees of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he, Abram, built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. In verse 10, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather at your feet and to hear from you, Lord, which is what we want, Lord. Please, it's your word, Lord, and it's your church, and we're here, Lord, because we want to draw near to you, Lord. You say in your word to draw near to you, and you'll draw near to us. And we just thank you so much for condescending, so to speak, condescending, like coming down to our level. You're the Lord of heaven and earth, and you come down to meet with us, your creations. We also pray for that to be happening next door in the Gospel Project and in the nursery, Lord, that you'd be in those places at the same time, blessing them. Lord, bless Pastor Steve, especially in this season of busyness and the season of just working on the church location project that you've called us into. We pray for a blessing on him and peace that comes from you. And Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll be here and you'll be glorified tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And I would say you may be seated, but I don't need to say that. All right, so tonight, maybe a shorter message than usual. We will have time to pray afterwards, but tonight we'll basically be looking at these 10 verses which talk about Abram's calling, but they also talk about your calling and my calling. And we will see how it took faith for him to step out, just as it's the same with us when God calls you to something. And it takes faith. It took faith for Abram to stay where God sent him to stay there, to stay the course. And so, same thing with you, same thing with me. So, for the Coast, we're in Genesis chapter 12, the first 10 verses. Hello, welcome, we're glad you're here. And so, Genesis chapter 12, especially the first half, it's always been very near and dear to me, and I hope it is to you, or it should be to you too. Why? Well, it's Abraham's story, his story of how he got saved, how God just put a calling on his life and began to pull him away from the place that he was at, the place he lived, his old life. And it's a picture of salvation for you and for me. And it's also a mini, sort of a mini picture of when God calls you to something. Even after you become a Christian, he gives you callings in different seasons of your life. It could be a work calling, a school calling, a ministry calling, or something else. But he gives you callings. And so this is a good picture that we can learn from of our callings. And so verse number 1 says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So the first thing we see is God spoke to Abram. Abram, who, this is the first time we really hear about him. We don't know much about him, but we know he's from a family of non-believers. He's from a pagan family, a pagan society. And God decides to choose him to speak into his life, to invade his life. If you think about your own story, that's what he did with you. I'm pretty sure every single person that I see in this room is somebody that had that happen at some point in time in your life, when you were young, or maybe when you were older, or somewhere in between. But God spoke into his life, and like I had mentioned in my prayer, the Lord of heaven and earth, that's a little snippet from Matthew 11:25, where Pastor Steve was a few weeks ago. The Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus called the Father that. And that's the same God, the God that made those things, the God that made us, that actually speaks to his little peons, his little creations, like me. There's like something like 8 billion of us now crawling across the earth, and there's been many more millions before us. But God personally speaks to us, and he did here with Abram, and he gave Abram a calling. And you know, looking back, it's easier for us because we come after the cross. For Abraham, not so much, but for us, we can look back and see, wow, okay, I see how this all fits in with Jesus. Like, before God came into my life and got my attention, and usually it takes more than one try, he's working on me, trying to get my attention on him, get me saved. Before that happens, the Bible says, I'm an enemy of God, right? You're an enemy of God. And it says in Isaiah, actually, that your prayers bounce off the ceiling before you deal with your sin. Your prayers bounce off the ceiling of heaven. But when Jesus died, it says that the veil separating the people from the holy place where God dwelt was torn from top to bottom. And it says that we were reconciled with God. And so that's why the Lord of heaven and earth, the Creator, can actually speak to us sinful people. But he spoke to Abram from this family of idolaters, and he said, get out. Get out from your family. Get out from your father's house. And so God has a calling for every single human being. Number one, like Pastor Steve talked about Sunday also, that we'll be saved, right? That's the first calling, calling number one. Revelation 3:20, Steve was in this past Sunday, and he talked about how God is knocking on the door of each person's life. You could say of your heart or of your life, he's knocking on the door. And he wants you to let him in, and he wants to get in there and plunder Satan. He talked about plundering Satan, right? Matthew chapter 12. Kicking Satan out of their life. And Pastor Steve mentioned the way God does it is by giving the person the gift of faith to believe. And so, likewise, God gives a calling for every human being. He gave that to us. And he's calling Abram. Abram doesn't have to answer the phone, but he's calling Abram. Sometimes God has to move a person physically away from their life that they're in, the life they're comfortable with, in order to get their attention on him. He did that with me, but he doesn't always do that. It's probably more on the rare side than not. Like with me, he called me out of... I was living in Los Angeles, California. He called me down to San Diego, even before I was saved, and that's where I ended up getting saved like a year later. Sometimes he has to pull you away from the BC life, the before Christ life, so that you can hear him and you can respond. He's very gracious. But But either way, God calls every person out of something. He calls you out of your old life. And so I was just reflecting on this, and it is good to reflect on this from time to time. Think about your old life, basically before you cared about what God thought, when you were just living, you know, just day to day, just living for whatever, living for yourself. He reaches into your life and calls you out of that. He called me to San Diego, away from my hometown, my family. He called me eventually. First he got me saved, then he called me a couple years later to move out to Boston. So now I was even further from family and from the old friends and stuff. I was not even within driving distance. But he knew for me, just like he knew for each of you, the perfect way to reach my heart and get my life in the direction that he wants it to be. His ways are the best. Amen. He has plans for me that I didn't know about and that I still don't know about, and same thing with each of you. His plans are the best, and we're so blessed because of that. But he says here in verses 2 and 3, and verse 1, there's a lot of things that God promises. A lot of I wills and I shall. I didn't count how many, but there's a lot. Will, shall, will. I think there's 6. But it's a lot of future promises that God told Abram that he couldn't see. It's almost like just totally out of the blue, right? God steps into your life, stepped into Abram's life, and just tells him, come with me. He told the 12 disciples that, right? He called each one of them one at a time from different lives, lifestyles. And he just said, follow me. And with Abram, he couldn't see what lied ahead. He did tell him some promises that were going to happen in the future. He doesn't always do that. Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. God has an inheritance for you and for me, which is the life walking with Jesus, right? The abundant life. And so, like before I was saved, he had a plan, and he was calling me, and I had no idea I didn't know what the Christian life would be like. I didn't know about it. But now I'm like, whoa, this is the promised land, walking with the Lord. I am so glad to know the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for calling me out of the life I was used to, the life I was comfortable with, because it's like in a box. It's like crabs in a bucket, as they say. Like, you can't see what's on the outside. But he called me to a great life. He told Abram, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. He called each of us to a great life, the abundant life that's full of blessings. Verse number 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. So Abram responds. Each person has free will. Abram responded. He picked up the phone. He departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And so as the Lord had spoken, Abram is a good example here of obedience. You can read more about his life, and there are some times where it's questionable, and I know with my life for sure, sometimes I don't respond to the calling right away, or sometimes even ever. There's been times he's called me to something, I've delayed it, or I've not sought him about it, I've not prayed about it, or I've just refused it. But God is gracious and merciful. And anyway, Abram he's a good example in this case. He responded, and he did exactly what God did, and it seems like he did it right away. Whenever I fail, though, what I've been doing lately is I've been thinking, you know what? Thank you. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm so thankful that you sent your only son, Jesus, who lived 100% obedient life for me. He lived 100% obedient life to the calling of the Father. To the callings, plural, of the Father. He just walked in that obedience. And then he died on the cross in my place for my sins of disobeying his calling at times. So always remember that. But it says he was 75 years old when he got the call. And that's just a reminder. He can give you a calling at any age, no matter how young or how old you are. And it mentions a couple places. Let me scroll back up to verses 2 and 3. So it mentions that, let's see. Oh, sorry, I'm in verses 4 and 5 and 6. So it mentions Haran in verse 4, and it mentions Shechem. These places as he was leaving from Haran, where he was, where his dad, Terah, had brought them, sort of on the way to the promised land. Actually, Matt, would you do me a favor? Could you pass these out? There's might not be quite enough, but there's almost enough. Maybe a couple people could share. You can also reference the back of your Bibles. Many of your Bibles will have a map of Abram's journey. Just to kind of give you a little bit of a visual of some of these seemingly random places. But there's tons of maps online too. You can find your own if you ever want to, but this is just one that I picked. And you see all the way to the right-hand side is Ur, where Abram and his family started out there, and then they traveled to Haran. And that's where they stopped. That's where Terah stopped. You'd have to read the end of chapter 11, which I forgot to do. You'd have to look at that to see, like, the family actually traveled before God even gave a calling to Abram. The dad, I think that's his dad, right, Terah? He brought his family up to Haran, and it said he was actually going to Canaan, but they stopped there and they stayed there, and that's where Terah died. But from there, back to verse 4 where we are in chapter 12, Abram got the calling there in Haran, which is north of the promised land. And so he departed, it says in verse 4, and he came to the land of Canaan. In verse 6, it says that he ended up going down to a place called Shechem, which you can see is on the left side on the coast there of the Mediterranean. So he went pretty far down. And there's a little bit of a scale that shows you the miles or the kilometers on the bottom in the middle of the map. So that was quite a distance, especially when you don't have a car or a plane. So that's just to give you a visual of these places that it's mentioning. So he left Haran at the top, and he made his way down, all the way down to Shechem. And it mentions that the Canaanites were in the land, verse number 6. So Abram went to a faraway place that he had never been, but not just a place, not just like a big empty paradise of milk and honey, promised land, but a place that was occupied with Canaanites. And so it not only took faith for him to step out from the location that he was at and the life that he was used to and to travel very far away to an unknown destination, it also took faith to stay there after he got there in the midst of the people who were already there. And so it's another likewise. Sometimes when I have my devotions and I'm writing in my journal, I'll read something and then I'll kind of think about it and I'll say, oh, that's true for me too. I'll say, likewise with me. So here's another likewise with me moment and likewise with you. Is that when God gives you a calling, whether it's salvation, entering into the Christian life, or whether it's something that comes afterwards, another calling that God gives to you, something he calls you to do. Stepping out is the first step, but then it also takes faith to stay there in the midst of the pressure that comes and the opposition that comes, because there are inhabitants in the land, so to speak, of the calling that God's bringing you to. It could be a ministry calling. It could be something else in your life. There's going to be opposition because the enemy, he sees that. He sees you coming, and he knows God is up to something. He has plans for your life, and the enemy doesn't want to just sit by and watch. So it took faith of Abram to stay in the land that was occupied, to stay the course, you could say, to stay the course of his calling, to stay in the promised land of his calling. Because where God takes you with every single calling is far away from your comfort zone. And it's an unknown destination, so it's going to take you faith also. It's going to take you faith to stay in it sometimes. Solomon talked about this last Tuesday night, actually. He was, if you remember, he was in, I'm not going to remember the chapter, but he talked about David, and he talked about when he was in the cave, and Saul was in the cave, and David was there with some of his men, and his men were giving him the pressure. They were like, okay, this is it. God is in this. God gave you this opportunity. Take his life. And reading between the lines, God anointed you. He gave you a calling as king. Samuel anointed you years ago. And this current king, Saul, he is in rebellion against God, and he is trying to kill you. So now's your chance. God has given him to you on a silver platter. But that wasn't his calling. His calling was to wait on God's timing. And so Solomon pointed out that sometimes we have to just stay in God's will. Amen. Even when there's pressure. And so sometimes, here back to Abram, he gets called into the promised land, but now he gets there and it's full of people. And so it doesn't tell us much about his thoughts at that time, but we'll see in the next few verses that it may have affected his actions. Excuse me. But this can happen with you and with me when we're given a calling by the Lord. Whether it's when you first get saved, you can have peer pressure, you can have opposition, things can get hard. It can be from people, or it can be just some spiritual warfare, some situations that are all of a sudden making it really hard. But also, apart from salvation, after you're saved, when you are stepping out in what God has shown you that you should do at this point in your life, you can hit opposition. There are inhabitants in that place where God's bringing you. But it's good for you. He's pulling you out of your comfort zone to an unknown territory. It's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for your faith. 1 Peter 1:7 says, talking about trials, it says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The only way that gold can be purified is in fire, to get out the, what do they call those? The metal, the other kinds of metal, the impurities, to burn that off. It has to be done in fire. And so God will bring us, he'll stretch you, he'll bring you into a place that's out of your comfort zone. But it's a good thing. It's good for you. It's good for your spiritual health. It's good for your faith. Revelation 3:18, which is actually just before the verse that Pastor Steve's been sharing a lot, Revelation 3:20, where he's knocking on the door of your life. Revelation 3:18 says, speaking to the lukewarm church, Jesus says, I counsel you to buy from me, buy gold from me, refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So he counsels me to buy gold refined with fire. That will make us rich, the real kind of wealth. That will bless you spiritually. And so, just a little side note, if you find yourself in a sort of place of your Christian life where you feel a little bit lukewarm, well, that's God's counsel to you. Buy from him gold refined in fire. See what he wants you to do. Seek him and step out in faith. Let him stretch you. Let him refine you. Let him build up your faith. Let him bring you out of that lukewarmness. And the last little cross-reference I'll share about this is 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. Just thinking about Abram going into this land where he's surrounded by foreign people. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, from God's perspective, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So when he calls you to something, and sometimes it may get hard, it may not be easy, he's working behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, he's working on an eternal weight of glory. Whatever that is, I want it. I want that to happen. Like some big glory that's going to bless the Lord is happening in my life when I push forward through affliction. And it is temporary in the grand scheme of things. But even in the promised land, even in the promised land of the Christian life or the promised land of the calling he has on your life in different seasons, there's opposition. Even in the promised land, when you're in his will, when you're in his calling. Verse number 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram. So first in verse 1, he spoke to Abram as if that wasn't enough right there. That he, the Lord of heaven and earth, would speak to a human, a sinful human, especially, well, for any of us, right, before we're saved, we're sinful idolaters. That's what Abram was, from a family of idolaters, that the Lord would speak to us. But here, he also appears to him in some way. And he spoke to him again, and he said, to your descendants I will give this land, like where you're standing right now, I'm going to give you this. And there, Abram built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So the Lord appeared to Abraham and said and spoke to him after Abram obeyed. And we see this in other parts of the Bible as well. You may notice it from time to time. After somebody responds to God's calling, then God at some point speaks further into their life, which is a really encouraging thing, right? God calls you into the unknown, but he's with you there. He encourages you along the way. He encourages you when you're in that calling. And so Abram obeyed and went, and God appeared to him and spoke to him. He does that with you and with me. And Abram had a very good response. He worshiped the Lord. He built an altar to God in that place, right then and there. And that's a good thing for us to do too, to recognize when God has met us, even in a place of the unknown, a place where we're surrounded by the unknown, by other people, by foreigners. In this case, meaning for them, it was a dangerous place. Not for us these days. Foreigners is a good thing. But foreigners there was a dangerous thing. But God spoke to him. He built an altar. He praised the Lord right there in the midst of that promised land. But then it says, what verse is this in? It says he moved, verse number 8. It says he moved from there. And so it says he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west of Ai. Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. So he's right in the middle between Bethel and Ai. This map, I looked at many maps today. This map does not have a little dot for Ai, but Ai on that map would be to the right of Bethel, very, very close to it. There would just be maybe the size of a dot in between the two dots. Very, very close. But that's where he went, just to give you another reference point. That's where he moved to. So he was in Shechem. He moved south. You can see from on your map from Shechem down to Bethel. I don't know, maybe that's like less than 50 miles, but still significant. But why did he move? Why all of a sudden did he move? He just had God, you know, appear to him, speak to him. He built an altar, he worshiped God. We don't know how much time passed, but he moved from there. Does anybody know? If you know, then you might have a different Bible, because I don't know. The Bible's not clear on it. That was kind of a trick question. Why did Abram move? We're not sure. Maybe the inhabitants of the land were kind of like staring at him, whispering behind his back. Maybe he was feeling that pressure. Maybe he was uneasy, so he wanted to kind of keep moving. We're not quite sure. Was God leading him from Shechem to Bethel? We're not quite sure. But he went south from Shechem, and he built that altar. And he built the altar where he was, and then when he got to the place where he was going, in verse 8, he also built an altar. This is good. This is a great thing. He's worshiping God along the way. Maybe indeed God was leading him. And it says not only did he worship the Lord, he called on the name of the Lord. He was really seeking after the Lord, just as Pastor Steve has been exhorting us to do. seek after the Lord. But verse number 9, it says, so Abram journeyed going on still toward the south with a V and with a capital S. So he kept moving. He was on the way to the south, to the bottom, the very bottom section of the promised land. If you look on the map, in faint letters underneath Canaan, underneath Beersheba, is Negev. That's actually the Hebrew word here for that's translated as the south with a capital S. It's Negev, which is a desert, actually. So why did Abram move down here to the very, very bottom of the promised land, to the desert of all places? This was quite a ways away from where he had started. Again, we don't know. Was God leading him? We're not sure. I tend to kind of think that maybe he was giving in to the pressure. But we don't know for sure. But I was thinking about this from a few Sundays back. Pastor Steve had us in Matthew chapter 11. And like the last part of it, remember about the yoke of Jesus? Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. Does anyone, what's, like in your own words, you can just shout it out. What is the definition of a yoke when Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? What is a yoke? What's he talking about? No. Heavy burden. Heavy burden? Okay. Anybody else? What's a yoke? No. What were you going to say, Jasmine? A weight? Okay. Anybody else? When you think about two oxen back in those Bible days, and they still do it to this day in some parts of the world, what is the yoke? It's actually a piece of equipment, farming equipment. Yes, you're getting... That's true. Yeah, you're right. The farmer could use it to help guide them. But the primary purpose was to attach two oxen together to one another, to attach them. And then they would be able to carry, to drag the burden if they're dragging like the farming equipment to till the soil or whatever they need to do. But they needed to be attached to each other so they'd be focused on the same thing going forward and not sort of wandering off all over the place. But anyway, Pastor Steve, Matthew chapter 11, a few Sundays ago, Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And yes, this applies to salvation, because if you think about at the time, like with the religious folks at the time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and all the rest, it was very religious, right? They were very religious. And they were, it was, on the one hand, it's good, they were reading the Bible, the Old Testament, but they were missing out on what the Bible was all about, which was Jesus, right? So it was a very religious time, and Jesus said, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. He's calling people to salvation, but he's also calling people, it says, I didn't write down the verse, but it's there in that, in Matthew chapter 11, where it talks about that. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He actually says, learn from me. So he wants people to enter into the Christian life and walk with him through life next to Jesus, learning from him, being discipled from him, and having his yoke, being yoked up with Jesus. He's your yoke fellow. Maybe that's like a King James word. I don't know. I'm making it up. But he's your yoke fellow. He's your the other person in the yoke that you are attached to. He's calling each of us to that life, not just to be saved, but to move forward. John 17:3. One of my old pastors pointed this verse out once at a Bible study, and I was like, what? How did I miss that? John 17:3 says, this is Jesus actually speaking, but he says, he's praying to the Father, and he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. So if you've been born again, your eternal life has already started. You are actually in your eternal life. You're walking in your eternal life because now you know Jesus and you're getting to know him more and more. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me. God's calling on you, his will for your life that he has for you, in contrast to religion, it's easy. He's actually in the yoke with you. It's his yoke. It's his calling for you. It's his plan for your life. In contrast to religion, though, Matthew 23, verse 4, it says, speaking of the religious people, they bind heavy burdens hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Luke 11, 46, similarly, Jesus said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens that are hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. So that's, if you kind of think about it, contrast those. There's the burden of religion, which is just a burden that's hard to even carry, hard to even keep up with. And then there's Jesus' yoke, which is actually light, because he's carrying it. He's next to you. He says, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Thinking about the oxen pulling like a heavy load, well, Jesus is pulling this with you, and his calling comes with work. It comes with a load. It comes with a challenge, but he is with you. And so that burden, that work, is actually lightweight. A life walking with Jesus is very freeing. It's not bondage, because he's with you. So I shouldn't try to pull my burden with my own strength, which I do sometimes, and which you might do. You should not try to pull a yoke with your own strength. We don't have time, I just don't want to read like a really long passage to you, because it's nighttime, so it might be too much to handle. It might cause you to nod off. But Galatians, for your own reading, Galatians 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3, you can read more about that there, of somebody that's already saved and how sometimes we can tend to go back to religion. We can kind of tend to go back to doing things in our own strength and not relying on Jesus to help pull the yoke in what he's called us to do in our lives. But you shouldn't try to pull the burden with your own strength, neither should I, because that would kind of be like an ox. Well, it would be like an ox, like a single ox with this piece of equipment that has like basically two holes, two spaces for two oxes, but there's just one of them, and he's dragging the other side of it, and it's kind of like dragging along the ground. It doesn't really make sense, and it wouldn't even work. And that's what I do sometimes. That's what you might do too. It's like a solo yoke, which totally doesn't make sense. It's not a yoke at all. And so, anyway, God kind of had me on this side note as I was meditating on Abram's life. He kind of took me on this side note back to Matthew chapter 11, thinking about when God gives me a calling, he gives you a calling, the great news is that he's with us in that calling. He's helping us pull the load. And I hesitate to share this, but I'll share it. There might only be one person in the room named Eldon that will smile at this, but he likes dad jokes. In case you didn't know, he's a repository of dad jokes. If you ever need one, he will dispense it to you on call. But I came up with one when I was preparing, just thinking about this whole thing and how sometimes, like, God will give you a calling, he'll give me a calling, but sometimes when the going gets tough, when I get to the promised land of where he's calling me to be in that ministry or that job or whatever it is in my life, the pressure kind of gets to me and I start dragging the yoke and I'm pulling it in my own strength and I forget to seek him and to let him carry it. And so anyway, this sort of, it's kind of like a dad joke, I guess. It's in the same category. If you ain't yoking, you must be joking. If you ain't yoking, you must be joking. So I was saying that to myself. It sounds so silly, because if I'm not yoked up with Jesus in the calling that he's given me, if I'm not yoking, it's a joke, because that piece of farming equipment is meant for two. If I'm dragging it around and it's just hanging down, it's illogical. And so that's what I do. And so it's a joke. If I ain't yoking, Then it must be a joke. You must be joking. It's an absurd thought. So, back to Abram. Verse number 10. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. So, famine hits, water is scarce, which affects the growing of food too, right? It affects everything. It affects the animals and the people. And not only was there a famine, it was a severe famine, really bad. So Abram goes down to Egypt. He leaves the promised land. So here's another question that we don't know the answer to. Was it God's will for Abram to travel to Egypt versus to stay in the promised land? If Abram stayed in the promised land, could God have provided for him in the midst of a severe famine? Could the God of heaven and earth have done that? The answer is yes, resoundingly so. He could have. God could. Now, God, just as a disclaimer, maybe God did call him to Egypt. God might have decided to use that as the provision. We don't know. I sort of tend to lean towards maybe not, because as you can read, if you continue on past verse 10, which we will not tonight, you can read how things went badly when they got there. He coached his wife to lie. They almost lost their lives to the king, etc. So I tend to kind of lean towards maybe that wasn't what God wanted him to do. Maybe he's been slowly moving south, 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 south. Finds himself in the desert, away from everybody. And then the famine hits and makes the desert even more of a desert. And then he goes to a foreign land. He actually leaves the promised land where God had called him to be. And so, as you know, Egypt is a picture in the Bible. Well, it's a picture of more than one thing, but it's a picture of, in some cases, of our sin, of our old life, and it also can be a picture of the world. And so Abram may have sort of wavered in his calling and gone down there to seek help from the world, but we don't know for sure. Yeah, the Nile's down there. It's more lush down there. So it is true that and that happened in other parts of the Bible. When there's a famine, that can be a place to find refuge. We don't know if that's what God was calling him to do or not. But the good news is, with you and with me, with our lives, even when we waver in God's calling that he's given us, it doesn't like erase his promise. As far as we know, God did not command Abram to go to Egypt, but it didn't take away God's promises that he had for him of the promised land. And you can see later on, he did return to the promised land after he made some mistakes in Egypt. But it didn't erase God's promises. God's promises are permanent. And same thing with you, same thing with me. When we waver, when we fail, he still has a calling on your life. He still has a promise. He still has plans. So here, Abraham had a calling, and it's a good picture, a good reminder to you and I to think about our callings and to learn from this about our callings. It took Abram faith to step out, to go, as God gave him the call, but it also took him faith to stay the course as he got into that calling, as he got on the path that God was bringing him to. And remember, just remember what Solomon said. I already mentioned it, but I jumped ahead of my notes. I was going to wait to mention it, but it's worth mentioning twice. Solomon's message last week, don't kill the Saul when you're in your calling and the pressure comes. Don't kill the Saul in the cave. Wait on God's timing. Stick with God's will even when there's pressure. Trust God in the calling that he has you in, even if it seems like it's taken forever, like it was with David. It was taking years. But he waited. He trusted God. So, at this time, we are going to move into prayer groups. And I'll give you a few ideas of what you can pray for. Pray as you feel led, but like I mentioned at some point, remember, Abram was from a family of idolaters, right? Joshua 24:2 is where it says that. It says, This is God speaking. He says, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. And I share that just to underline the fact that Abram for sure didn't earn God's calling or God's blessings. All those I will, I will, I will, I will, I shall, all those promises, he didn't earn those by being a good person. And same thing with you and me. God has a calling on your life, no matter who you are or what you've done before you're a Christian or even after you've been a Christian. And so when we break into prayer groups in a minute, maybe that's something you want to pray about. You want to pray and get together with a couple of brothers or sisters and pray that God will help you to exercise that faith, step out in the calling he's given you. You don't deserve it, but God has a calling for you. The Lord of heaven and earth has a calling for you at this point in your life. Not just, it doesn't stop at salvation. He has more, even more things that he has planned for you. Another thing you may want to pray about in a few minutes is maybe you have stepped out currently. Maybe you're in a part of your life where he has given you a certain calling, a certain thing to do, and you have taken that faith step. You've stepped out of the comfort zone. But maybe you need prayer to exercise that faith so you can stay the course, you can stay in it. Maybe the pressure is happening right now for you. You can pray about that with your brothers and sisters. Or maybe there's an area of your life or a calling in your life and you're attempting to have that solo yoke, which doesn't make sense, but maybe that's what you're doing. That's what I've done. You can pray with your brothers and sisters and you can pray and ask God, Lord, help me. Help me to let you bear the yoke alongside of me, Lord. I've been dragging this thing in my own strength, in this calling you've given me. It's become miserable, but you've called me to it, and I know it's not supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be light, Lord. Please, Lord. Please help me with this yoke. And then lastly, for those first three, those are ideas that you can choose to pray for, but with this last one, let's all make sure we pray for this one, and that is for the church location. Not just a prayer of like, God, please show us the church location. That's good to pray for. But let's pray for, sort of in light of Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, for the life and the hearts of Calvary Chapel in the city, everybody in the church, not just those in this room. Let's pray for all of ourselves that God will continue to do this work in us, this worth of just growing our faith, refining our faith in this season that he has us in, this calling that he has us in, to move to a new location. That we'll exercise faith as we're going out, and that we'll exercise faith as we stay where he calls us to be. It may be in Nubian Square. Some people will need faith to be in Nubian Square. It may be up the street at Gordon Conwell. It may be at Orchard Gardens. It may be somewhere else that we don't know. But we will need faith to stay where he puts us. It'll be out of our comfort zone. And so we'll break up into groups as soon as we pray. I'll close this in prayer, and then you can get into groups of what do we usually do for the limit? Four? Two or three is good. Four might be too much. Try to do two or three. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for being the creator of each of us and all the other 8 billions that are on the earth. But yet, speaking to each of us, speaking into our lives, Lord, and we thank you that you came into our lives and gave us a calling. You called us out of our old life, our BC life. You called us into a walk with you, Lord, a promised land life of abundance, walking alongside you, bearing the yoke alongside you, the Christian life, Lord, where it's not a life of burdens like the religion of the day, but it's a life of adventure. It's a life, an exhilarating life of refreshing, walking with you through this journey. We thank you so much for that. We praise you for that. We build an altar here just like Abram did twice. We build an altar here and just praise you for that and worship you for what you've done in each of our lives. Lord, Abram also called on your name, and we want to do that tonight when we come into our prayer groups. Please lead us, Lord, by your Spirit and help us as we call on your name and as we seek you. We thank you, Lord, that you have plans for us. As if it wasn't good enough, you've have a plan to save each of us, to wake us up and bring us spiritual life, spiritual awareness, to make us born again, to open our eyes, to open our ears and open our mouths like Steve taught on Sunday. As if that wasn't enough, Lord, you've given each of us a calling. You've given me a calling. You've given each person here a calling. And you continue to give us callings throughout our life, Lord. You have specific, individual, unique, customized plans and callings for each one of us. That's such a glorious thought, and that we don't deserve. It's because you sent Jesus to make it possible. But Lord, we want to be continuing to pursue you. Help us, Lord. We want you to grow our faith, Lord. Show each one of us tonight as we go into these prayer groups what we should focus in on. Bring it to mind, Lord. If there's something that I need or someone needs to step out in, a calling that you're giving them, Lord, help us to bring that to you in prayer tonight. If there's a calling that we're currently in and we need to pray to exercise faith to stay the course, Lord, to not give in to the pressure and kill the soul, Lord, push us into prayer. Push us to pray for that. Or if we've been bearing the yoke solo, Lord, help us to bring that to you and allow you to lift the burden. Anything else that you've stirred up in us, Lord, we want to bring it to you. So help us as we call on your name now in prayer groups. In Jesus' name, amen.